Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Access All Areas. I am Stephen Lang.
Hello, I'm Bobby Norris.
How are you, babes?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you, babe. I'm still absolutely milking every moment of sun that we have.
Yeah, I feel you. Milking the sun, milking the getting out there, out and about, feels nice, doesn't it?
It really, really does. So I had a lovely walk at the weekend, and I just feel like, I think we said last week, just that look on people's faces. I mean, just seeing people's faces is lovely, and not just virtually, but just that there seems to just be like an unspoken positive vibe, which I'm all for. How about yourself?
Yeah, same. I mean, well, I did my first night out before we recorded last week, but then I went out a couple of times more than that. To see some friends and stuff. I did my rowing at the weekend. We went to the pub. Yeah, just all feeling pretty positive. You've been doing some filming as well, haven't you?
Yes, I've been doing a little bit of filming.
How's it been going? You're back.
Yeah, I'm back. So I've had a few weeks away, but now I'm back. And it's nice to, for us, we've been following our restrictions since kind of TV's rules and restrictions were put into place, I think back in August. Not much has changed for us really in terms of the last week or two since things have lifted up, because we've been doing things under our guidelines. But just nice to be busy. Everything's always a little bit nicer in the sun. I went to a famous chicken shop the other day, not for work. Had my lemon and herb, which I've been craving. But again, all done. That's the level I'm at. I'm a lemon and herb boy. I hold my hands up. I can't go any higher up the scale. I tried.
Fine. That's what you enjoy. Fine.
Exactly. It's the small things in life. To see that halloumi coming over and that spicy rice. And that's what I've needed. So I'm taking great comfort in them little moments.
Yeah, I think we all are, aren't we? It's been nice. So I mean, how has filming been? Because obviously you had a bit of a break, didn't you? So how has it been back?
Yeah, so I went back. I'm trying to think of what the Sunday night's episode when I first went back. It very much kind of just picked up where I'd left off after the break and gone back to the madness that was there. Still no real change. I can't actually. It's such a bizarre situation regarding my ex and where we're at now that I literally can't give it the headspace anymore, because how many times can I sit there and say what so many people already know? It's bizarre. Tried to almost just have a one-on-one, sort of tried to have a chat, again to no great avail. Not much was really gained by it. But at least
you did that. I mean, that's a good thing, right? Sometimes you've got to try and grab the ball by the horns. In this case, the ball's not playing ball, but you know, at least you tried.
I tried, and you know, the thing is with me, I'm a big believer in just moving on in life. I don't ever wish anyone harm. This subject to me was history. It was so long ago, so far ago. It's not even something that I had any thoughts about. I gave it no headspace. It just was just gone. It was 7 years ago. So to me, it just all become very weird when we started filming this series, that everything had been brought up and then history had been rewritten. Who knows, we've still got a few weeks left of the series, so as we always say in town, I know you know as a journalist who's interviewed a lot of us over the never say never. It's probably one of the most famous lines that
watch this space
absolutely. Would I like everything to be amicable and civil? Absolutely. But I think them possibilities are kind of not likely. Just like, once olive branches are reached out and things still don't kind of take a civil tone, it just becomes a little bit hard. But I just think sometimes you have to deal with the situation and learn to...
To get on with it, I guess.
But as I'm sure in weeks to come that's left of the series, we'll have more to talk about regarding it and wherever we're at with it. But yeah,
but I feel for you, Bob. I wouldn't want to have to do the same. I mean, good Lord, what a thing to have to deal with all these years later. But you know, you're doing it, and you're having a good time still. I mean, despite that. So
yeah, despite that, and obviously apart from that situation, it's just lovely to be working again and keeping busy. Mm. You know, like as we've always said, like for us, we're so grateful that we've still managed to do this show with each other virtually through the lockdown and keeping busy and having them things. I know you're the same with your rowing and your work. Mm. It's just good. It's good for people's mind to be busy in whatever it is you're doing. So yeah, always trying to take a positive vibe from sometimes not a positive situation.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And I think if there's something that we've all learned this year, it's exactly like you said, is to try and do that. You know, like I was enjoying my weekend walks when we couldn't do anything else. And that was the one thing I look forward to. But, you know, now things are changing and it feels good. So, yeah, well, more power to you, Bob. I think you're a better man than I am. I definitely couldn't be so kind and you know, whatever about the situation. So, so well done you.
Thank you, babe. Have you had a little look at the showbiz news this week? What's it saying to you, Steve?
Of course. I mean, first of all, I mean, there was obviously, we spoke last week, it was a bit of a sad week for celebrity news, but we did have Prince Philip's funeral over the weekend, which I was rowing when it actually was on, but watched a little bit drunk on Saturday night, got in and was like, I'm going to watch this because, you know, I'll need to know what happened for work and probably for this and whatever. And just for me, I like moments in history, you know, it was a big, big moment. And it was very interesting to watch, I think, particularly for royal watchers, the whole situation between Harry and William and, you know, no Meghan being there, that probably made things slightly easier for Kate. And then now the talk is that they are kind of back in touch. So, I mean, that's kind of nice. If one good thing can come from that situation, that the brothers are talking again, that's probably a positive thing, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I guess we will see as time goes on if that relationship can be worked upon. But I think in a weird way, Meghan not being able to travel, I guess being so heavily pregnant, probably in a weird way has worked out for the best for that situation, because that kind of had the possibility of taking everyone's attention, what they're all doing, if she had have been there. But I saw photos of the Queen, which was like a really sad photo to see her sat there, bless her. And yeah, like you say, history, absolutely just sad, sad times.
Yeah, definitely a moment in time, you know, longest serving consort to a monarch. I think they were married for 73 years, long, long time. But yeah, it's actually quite interesting what you said about Meghan, because I think people forget that, like, when you get married, I think this quite often, when you get married, you don't actually become one person. You are two separate people with two different opinions and mindsets. And, you know, you get married for a reason. You love that person. And that's great. But, you know, sometimes, and in this circumstance, probably that, it's actually quite good for William and Harry to be able to speak without their wives as brothers. You know, without wider family, without all of the other people's opinions and stuff that can get involved. And I think, yeah, obviously Meghan's pregnant. That's the reason she couldn't come. And that's a completely valid reason during a pandemic, of course. Well, I mean, even not. I mean, if you're heavily pregnant, you don't necessarily want to get on an airplane. And I think, I think it was interesting. And it's going to be interesting to watch what happens next and see how their relationship develops going forward. So,
has anything more been said? I know there's been talk that they're going to be releasing a statue in tribute of Diana, which obviously the boys have been heavily involved in, I'm guessing, as it's them. I wonder if Meghan will be joining for that, or...
Well, she's... So, I actually do know a bit about this because I've been writing about it at work. She is about... No one actually knows specifically, but roughly people think 6 to 7 months pregnant now. The statue is due to be unveiled on Diana's 60th birthday, which is at the beginning of, well, the anniversary of her 60th birthday, which is the beginning of July. So she will have either just given birth or be just about to give birth. So the chances are that she probably wouldn't, the pandemic would still be going on, even if it's much lessened. So it's going to be unlikely that she'll, sorry if you can hear an ice cream van outside, it's just going past. it's unlikely that she'll be, that she'll come back for that as well. So, so yeah, it's going to be, it'll be another opportunity for the brothers to come together for what I think would be probably a really important moment.
Absolutely. I mean, and I don't have siblings, but regardless of family and who they are, I think after the last few months and the Oprah interview, I think it's really important for them to have that kind of time to, I really hope they did have a chat either before or after the funeral, and that they can build bridges, especially for this massive moment for the Diana statue, because obviously none of us really know, but I'm sure she would be devastated at the situation of them not talking or of the fallout. So yeah, let's just hope that bridges can be built and that nothing is too irreversible.
100%, totally on board with that. There was another interesting story this week. Did you read about Demi Lovato and the frozen ice cream?
Yeah, so has her DMs have been leaked to this shop, is this right?
Yeah, correct. So she basically complained that some of the language that they use around sugar-free products were triggering for someone like her who suffered with an eating disorder, which obviously led a lot of people to then say, well, you know, diabetics can't have sugar. It is a valid dietary choice. It's not just... as in your diet, you know, you're not on a diet necessarily. It's just something you have to do. And then in the process, she kind of got highly involved in DMing them, saying, you don't want to mess with me and all this kind of stuff, which have then been leaked. So not that her, you know, opinions are invalid, and there's definitely something to be said about diet culture and the, you know, all those kind of things. But to get vaguely threatening with a brand saying, you know, don't mess with me, I don't know, makes me feel a bit uncomfortable. Like, you know, trying to take down a small business, I believe it's a family run business. And then she went on to say, and actually, by the way, I was really upset with your service as well. And things like that.
Like a PS at the end.
Yeah. Well, actually, I've just thought about this. And actually, I think, you know, probably over here, we don't know Demi Lovato that well. I don't think she's like a huge, huge star. But I mean, have you ever had anything like that happen where you've been like...
Probably out with yogurt shops.
Yeah. Ever gone into a Haagen-Dazs and been upset. You know what I mean? Because I mean, I don't know if this is something that happens often. I don't know.
No, and I think indirectly, just regarding them too quickly, in a really weird way, I'm guessing the PR off the back for this small business and brand is indirectly, she's given them more clout than they ever would have had before. So
we certainly would never have been discussing this LA yogurt shop, if frozen yogurt shop, if it wasn't for this event, right?
So, absolutely not. And like you say, it's one of them situations where obviously she clearly feels passionately about where she's coming from with it, but then there is that other side where the diabetic side and the requirements. But in terms of trying to deal with it over DMs and so, it's definitely a modern day. Gone are the days of picking up a pen and paper and writing a letter.
Writing to trading standards or something.
Yeah. or even sending an email now seems old-fashioned.
Yeah, it does.
All about just sliding into them DMs.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, interesting to wonder how the DMs ever got leaked.
I'm assuming, you know, this is just an assumption, that it has something to do with the brand or someone that knows the brand. But I guess we'll never know. Really.
Did they ever put out a public statement after?
I don't think so, but they did. I mean, they responded to her quite reasonably. Like, their responses were quite like, you know, one of the products, they were like, we don't stock this anymore. That's an old picture. You know, it was a bit like, they seem quite reasonable and she seemed quite over the top. But, you know, can't take away the way she feels, you know. It's just whether or not you use your power for good or ill. And, you know, screaming at the top of your lungs about a small shop, even if you did have bad service once. I mean, like, it's not the end of the world, is it? I don't know if maybe it's something that, like, Americans class as more important. Like, I certainly would not, unless it was really terrible, unless they literally told me to F off or something like that. Like, I don't think I would take to social media. I'm trying to think if I ever have. I probably have. Don't go through my Twitter and look. I may have done it before.
And I think the thing is, regarding that, just before we move on, I think, like you say, the fact, by the almost the afterthought of the service thing being, if this was solely just about service and how she felt, but it doesn't seem to, that there seems to be a mix of, is it about that you, you've had a bad experience, or is it the product?
Well, it makes you think that, be careful who you send DMs to, because you just never know how and when they're going to end up leaked. I mean, I dread to think some of the things I've said in private messages when I'd be drunk. I hope they never get leaked. but, you know, like, yeah, I mean, it's a funny one. Like we said, would we be talking about her or this ice cream shop if she hadn't have put it on social media and then it gone to, like, the top story on the Mail Online? Probably not. So
the funny world of social media that we live in.
Yeah, indeed. There was one other thing. Obviously, we've had a lot of Strictly stars come on the show over the months, and actually we haven't had OT, but OT's now revealed that she's not going to be coming back she's going to do the next series, but this will be her last. So the 2021 series in the autumn will be her last. I think she'll be really missed, won't she? I mean, she won the last two series with Bill Bailey last year and Calvin Fletcher the year before. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. Like you say, I think really sad. Not only she lifted the trophy 2 years on the bounce, the announcement, I think, it's probably come as a little bit of a shock for everyone, because when someone's that strong a professional on a show and a household name, but I guess whether it coincides with her new job, the Masked Dancer, I know that there's been speculation maybe that a lot more job offers have been coming in and because of that, but she apparently, I think, made a comment saying, "But honestly, as a woman, I can't be dancing forever," which I kind of think is a little bit sad. Keep dancing.
Well, look at Anton Dubek. You know, I mean, he's in his 50s.
He's still dancing.
Yeah. I mean, I get that. Maybe you think in your head, maybe, you know, physically, it might get more difficult the older you get. You know, that's just a fact of any sport, isn't it? Like, and maybe she thinks like that. I wonder if it's because once you've won twice, you're probably not going to get the top-notch partners again, maybe. And she's a bit... might think that, well, what's the point now? Because I'm only going to be given the duff partners, you know, the ancient old Coronation Street actor or something. And she thought, well, you know, maybe now's the time to move on, maybe.
But then when we first saw Bill Bailey on the show, I think people in the very first few weeks didn't hold out much... And certainly not a lot of people was calling him on to be the winner.
No.
It was completely like a shock, really, how amazing he was. So I guess sometimes it's not even an age thing, but I wonder if she now feels, you know what, let's make this a hat trick, let's go out on a high. So I'm sure she's going to be... And what a lovely way to go out and end your career on Strictly, to win 3 years on the trot and then say, right, I'm off.
Especially when your sister's the chief judge, the head judge. I mean, Motsi is her sister, and, you know, it's been she happens to have been the judge both years she won. No, I don't think there's any favouritism, but I mean, she has had really good, you know, dancers and partners. So yeah, I mean, more power to her, but I don't think it'll be the last we see of her on TV. So
definitely not.
Keep an eye out. Well, I forgot to mention at the top of the show who our guests are this week. We have from the Circle Series 2, we've got Brooke and Beth, and they have got a new podcast out, so we're going to talk to them about that in a second. And we also have Ellie Diamond, finalist from this year's UK Drag Race. But Brooke and Beth are here now, so let's get them in.
Amazing.
Hello.
Hi.
How are we doing?
Good. How are you?
Thank you.
Really good, thank you. Really good. Thank you for joining us this evening. You're both looking uber glam.
Oh, thank you.
I had to put the wig on for you, honestly.
And also, I think you've got that good light. You've been getting those. You've got a nice circle light or circle, very good. Or you know, some nice open window or something. I'm seeing. You know, you're both looking gorge.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
How is everything going? Talk to us.
Really, really good. I mean, me and Brooke have started with amazing new podcasts, and we're absolutely loving it, aren't we, Brooke?
We are absolutely loving it. You know, we're just saying it how it is. And that's the name of our podcast.
As usual, yeah.
And how did the podcast come about?
Well, me and Brooke obviously met on The Circle, but didn't really get to speak on The Circle much, but then got this amazing friendship off the back of it. And we just have these like 2-hour long phone calls where we basically just say it how it is. And we're like talking about everything and putting the world to rights. And I was thinking, do you know what? We would be amazing doing a podcast together. And when I put it to Brooke, she was like, Beth, I was thinking the exact same thing.
Exact same thing.
I just wish we hadn't done it sooner, really.
The things that we've talked about and the things that we've experienced after The Circle, we've got enough content to last a lifetime.
and you've got some pretty interesting guests. I read you've got Rogan O'Connor coming up. Or have you done it already?
Sorry, we did that, yeah, and the episode went live on Monday and we talked about OnlyFans.
So this is actually what I wanted to say to you, because I think there's a whole, I've discussed it with people who've done reality TV before, right, about how OnlyFans has become a real money spinner, a way to earn a living, right, once you've finished doing a reality show. What do you make of that whole thing, and what did he have to say for himself? Because he's from Ex on the Beach, right?
Stephen, if I didn't have morals, I'd be raking it in. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Fuck my morals. Like, do you know what?
Girl, There's money to be made.
Honestly,
Once we spoke to Rogan, I'm very much like, nah, it's not for me, but if you want to get that coin, go for it. But once I spoke to Rogan, I was like, Brooke, I've changed my mind a little bit. Yeah. Do you want to do a double act? And I was like, do you know what? He's raking in tens of thousands of pounds a month. And I'm sat here like, well, how are we? We could be doing this.
There were two faults on it. What does he have to say?
Well, we asked Rogan, obviously, because he'd been doing OnlyFans before it was even a massive thing. But he said he kept it quite quiet because it's quite taboo. So he was just posting pictures that he posted on Instagram on OnlyFans and he was getting money for it. But now he's having to tone it down on Instagram and then get a little bit saucier, if you will,
I see.
On OnlyFans. Yeah. But he... If you know Rogan, Rogan does not give a fuck about anything. He's not shy. He doesn't care. But then I did ask him, you know, do you think this is something you'll regret in life when you're like 50, when you have kids? And he was like, shit, Brooke, like I didn't really think of that, you know?
Like, I think the fear is, exactly that. You don't necessarily always know where your career or your life is going to take you, right?
Yeah.
And if someone's got a screen grab of, you know, you having a wank in the shower.
That's what I mean.
it might not end well. But then also, you could end up making money off it for the rest of your life. So
yeah,
it could set yourself. You could set yourself up for life, really. Mm. But you've got. I think you've got to be like a special kind of person to think if this gets out, I'm not going to be bothered. Mm. Whereas for me, I think I would be like mortified in case my granddad seen us with me arse and tits out. I'd be like, no, do you know what I mean? That's not for me granddad's eyes. And I just feel like that kind of shit would happen to me. So I think Rogan owns it. He's a dream boy. He looks good with his clothes off and he kind of rocks it. And I think that's the kind of person you have to be on there. For me, I just couldn't do it, I don't think.
And I think definitely through the lockdowns in the last 12 months, I think a lot more people are speaking about the OnlyFans platform.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is definitely growing. Like a lot more people are a part of that world now and are quite openly, like you mentioned, in the early days, I think there was a lot of shame when people... Whereas now I think people are absolutely owning it. And when you're putting that kind of content out there, you've just got to own it. Of course you have, but you can't be shy about it.
I think there's like loads of random stuff on there as well. Brooke was saying that like this woman goes on there and just farts And
she
like,
does these really.
And I was like, what? What do you mean? She just
no,
farts?
She does.
Who
she
pays does for that shit?
She does these really oily farts in her work uniform. I think she works for like FedEx or something. And then she just like, you know how you just blow like brushed away?
Oh my
like,
God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not for me,
yeah.
Like. Brooke, how yeah. do you know that?
It was on Twitter. Okay. It was on y'all. Twitter.
But there's a niche for everything, isn't there now?
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
So
who are us to judge?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And, you know, if you're getting that coin, then go ahead. And so, Brooke, is this the kind of thing you're discussing on the podcast then?
So, yes, we're talking all things OnlyFans. We're also talking about dating, relationships. We've actually got Mary and Maya from Selling Sunset joining us, talking about, you know, being successful businesswomen and being mothers, or Mary, for example, dating a younger man or dating a foreign man at the same time. So we're literally talking about everything and anything.
Awesome. Yeah, we actually had Mary on our show just last week. She's great.
That.
She's like, she's a good laugh. Yeah,
I love a little bit of Mary. What other guests have you got coming up? So do you have? Is every a different guest, or is it some eps just yourselves chatting and putting the world to rights?
So it's just me. Sorry, Brooke.
No, go on, babe,
this
go
is
on.
A problem. We've got that much to say. We always talk all over each other. But some episodes are just me and Brooke talking, just like we're having a conversation on the phone. We didn't want it to be always guests, but we do invite guests on when we feel like they could really add to the episode. So we've got a few episodes coming up in the next few weeks. One talking about sugar daddies and sugar babies, which was just me and Brooke talking about our opinions and experiences. So it's a nice mix, and we've got a nice sprinkle of special guests and then just our conversation as well.
Perfect.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a great listen. Very similar to what we're doing, actually.
Very, yeah.
if you need another guest, obviously, yeah, you mentioned earlier that you guys, I was going to say met on the circle, but that's not technically right, is it? It's like you got to know one another last year. What did you make of the most recent series and how that went down?
Right. Well, for me, after going on the circle, reality TV is absolutely ruined for me. Like, I can't watch the circle now without hearing the little producer's voice like, what do you think about this? Or this is like, I can't do it. Like, it's just so annoying. But this year's circle was a lot more strategic, a lot more tactical. They were a lot more savage. Whereas my season with Beth, we're all having all these friendly chats, like, oh, Scholar Squad, and you know, kumbaya circle family.
Yeah. And I feel like we were like voting people or rating people like based on like if you like them or not, and you weren't doing it for strategy, you were doing it because you like that person, whereas I feel like this one was very strategic and also more like a catfish hunt. But in saying that, great TV, but for us it is spoiled a little bit because we know what's going on behind the scenes. But I think they had to evolve it, and there had to be more twists and turns, and they definitely give with that.
Any of the contestants from this series reached out to either of you for any kind of advice, or have you spoke to them?
Oh God, we actually had Joey on our podcast as well, talking about the reality of reality TV. But yeah, we've spoken to a lot of them, like most of them, if anything. And it's very interesting to hear their opinions on the whole circle experience, because obviously when Beth and I did it, we were live, so then we came out to all the madness, the crazy, whereas theirs, obviously they filmed it 6 months ago, kept it quiet, and then they were reacting to, like, you know, the tweets, the trolls, this at the same time as it was airing. So they've had a very different experience to us.
100%. I think I thought I would have preferred it that way, but actually now looking back, I actually prefer it the way we had it, because I think it would be hard to watch yourself and know that the whole of the world or the whole of the UK are watching at the same time, and you can't take back what you've said or done, and it's frustrating. Whereas by the time we come out, all of the audience had reacted the way they needed to, trolled you if they had to, and by the time we come out, they were just interested in seeing what we were going to do next. So in that respect, I think it was better for us.
Do you think that it's a bit like, quite often with reality shows, the longer they go on, the more people who sign up to them are very clued up about how they work, right? So I think probably the first series of The Circle, everyone was a bit like, what the hell is going on here? Like, I don't even understand how this works. Second series, you know, you guys probably had seen a bit of the first series, maybe you hadn't watched the whole thing, but you kind of understood it a bit more. Now, do you think that people are savvy to it, and like you said, they're they know what they're doing when they go in. Do you think it's kind of making it less of an exciting show, or a bit more fame hungry, the people who are in it sort of thing?
Definitely. I think when I went on there, I'd applied and I was a huge mega fan of series one. I was like, oh my God, yes, this is a bit of me. Like, it was a reality show, but it wasn't like Love Island where everyone's in their bikinis and that. Don't get me wrong, I love Love Island. You know, I love a cheeky. Do you want to go for a chat? But this was different. It was a social experiment. So I loved it and I applied for it. But after watching season three, where everyone's tactical, you know, they had their notepads, you know, they were so savvy and clued up. They literally studied season one and two and knew what to do. So I don't think I would have applied after watching season three, just because it didn't seem as fun. It was more strategic, tactical, and, you know, hard. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Definitely. As shows go on, the more series and the more years that they're on air, I think people, like you say, sit and study it. They know what they want to get off the back of it. And there's a lot more game plan. I mean, I know with the circle, you could say the whole thing can be a game, especially if you're going in there to be a catfish from the bout. Like, of course, that the whole thing's a game.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes it can become slightly less organic, and people's motives is just a little bit more just pure strategy, and just like that, they're having it. Like you say, the pen and paper's out. They know what they're doing before they're even in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I think the people experiment side of it and the social experiment, you want to see that the more organicness of it. Would you agree?
Yeah, exactly.
100%. Exactly. It takes the fun out of it a bit, I think. When you're going in there, you've got everything written down. You know exactly what your day-to-day plan's going to be, which is what I thought some of the players did. It doesn't, I think it translates, and I felt like the fun was taken out of it a little bit. When I went in there, I was a catfish, and then I went in as Joyce. I got a second chance, and I was a catfish again. But I went in there with no game plan. I'd watched two episodes of the first series and I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I got casted for it, really. And I thought, oh, why not? And I was just kind of winging it, and I feel like a lot of us were doing that, and I feel like it does translate. And the same with Love Island, you know what's going to happen. We'll all watch it, but it does get a little bit predictable when it's kind of, you know, that people have kind of done their research or coming in for like that reason. Do you know what I mean?
Basically, when you watch Love Island, you're like, right, when's Casa More happening? Like, you know it's coming.
Whereas if you watch the first series, did they even have a Casa More in the first series?
No, they didn't.
So it's like, you know, it's like producers have to switch it up to make it interesting to watch. Yeah. But then it also, you get more fame-hungry people that...
Yeah.
Certainly in Love Island. It's a bit like Married at First Sight in Australia. It's like everyone that's watching it knows they're not going to get together at the end of it. It's like, but it's like they're just watching the process, right? And it's a bit like that with Love Island, and maybe it'll get like that with The Circle. But what did you think about Natalia as the winner?
Do you know what? It was nice to see a woman win for once.
Yeah, fair. You know, although she wasn't playing as the woman.
That's true. Oh, my. I'll give you that. But if I'm completely honest, my thoughts is I'm super happy for Natalia. We've spoken to her. She's so lovely. I think that Manrika must be absolutely pissed. Obviously, she thought Felix was real. And the reason Natalia won is because she rated him high. So I'd be burning if I was Manrika. That's I'll keep it 100. Hit. But I'm super happy for Felix / Natalia.
And in terms of reality TV now, girls, would you ever do any other shows if the opportunity come along? Or you've mentioned that it's kind of ruined for you watching reality TV now because you know there is that influence a little bit with producers.
It's ruined, but I think, sorry, Brooke, I think for me, I loved the whole process and the whole behind the scenes and the way it was produced. Like, I loved all that, and I actually loved being on TV. I went very naively. Now, if I went on a reality TV show again, I'd be a bit more savvy. I'd still be myself, but I would know that there's always a bit of a narrative that the producers have got there and they're going to push certain characters. And I would just go with the flow a bit more. I think for me, when I was on The Circle, I was getting frustrated because I wasn't getting the chats that I wanted. And it was really kind of bugging us and spoiling my experience because I was like, why won't you give us the chats? But now when I look back, it was so that I would get blocked so I could go in as a different player. So I think I would ride the wave more. But I would definitely go on TV again. I absolutely love it, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. And like Bev said, it's been ruined for me, but hey, that ain't stopping me, baby. All I can say is that I will be on your screens again very soon, so stay tuned for that. I can't talk about much of all that.
Oh, yeah. Spell a bit of tea, Brooke. Tell us, where can we see you, when, in what sense?
It's going to be on ITV2, but I really can't talk about it much. But it is, just got to stay tuned.
There's something coming up. We've got.
It's not Love Island. It is not Love Island.
Okay, that was what I was thinking. I was like, okay, you've just been talking about Love Island. And okay, fine. Well, that's exciting, though. And I mean, yeah, I mean, that's the good thing about once you've done a bit of TV, and if people like you, you never know where it might end up, right?
Exactly.
Look at Bob. I mean, look at Bob, for God's sake.
Oh, we love Bobby.
All those years later.
There I'll be with my lovely football family.
Yeah, that's what we like. How has kind of the sort of the pandemic this last sort of couple of months been for you? And how are you feeling now about things starting to open up and be a bit more normal?
It's been hard. I'll let you go first. Sorry, Brooke, again. It's been hard. I think at the beginning it was a bit of, I mean, not novelty because it was a serious situation, but I think people were like, oh, you know, how long is this going to last? But I've struggled, I'm not going to lie. Since about Christmas, I thought, when is this going to end? I got in a relationship at the beginning of lockdown, and we've had our whole relationship in my parents' house because we were going to move out. And that has just been a massive strain. Luckily, we're going to be moving out now. But I just think, like, we've not had the opportunity to go on dates and go on holiday and, like, enjoy life, and work's been affected. And it's just been really difficult. So now that everything's opening up, I just feel like life's starting again.
Mm.
Yeah. See, and I'm super happy for Beth, but I'm low-key like, oh, I don't want things to open up because I've been hibernating, guys. Like, I don't have to put a wig on. I've been saving money. The only thing I'm gutted about is that I didn't buy a treadmill before, because no gym's been open has taken a toll on me, okay? Like, I've been hefty this lockdown, so.
Well, now you're
incredible, bro.
Yeah, to be fair, you look great.
Yeah, from here onwards, yeah.
That's the good thing about Zoom calls, isn't it? You know, no one has to see any more than you want them to. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I know, that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's actually quite interesting that you say about trying to deal with the relationship, though. Like, is that, do you think it has been genuinely quite affected then by, obviously, you got together with him at the beginning, right? So it's been an odd time to date.
It is. We met at in February. We had two dates before lockdown, and then we had to just FaceTime. And then when we could, we basically spent time together, and then he basically just moved in. Mm. So we kind of went from just dating to like moving in together. And, you know, I think it does kind of show that we can stand the test of time, because I think a lot of my friends have struggled in their relationships, and a lot of kind of new relationships have broken down. And don't get me wrong, I don't know how Connor's dealt with me, because my God, I have been a nightmare, and he's still here. He wants to live with us. So he's a good one. He's a keeper.
Job done.
Well,
thanks both of you for joining us this evening. Really appreciate it. And where can we find the podcast?
So you can find Say It How It Is on all major platforms at Say It How It Is Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Fab. Well, thank you so much, ladies.
Thanks
for joining us. Bye, girls.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you so much. Bye.
What lovely girls. I think it's obviously, yeah, I think meeting on the circle must be a bit of an odd one, right? Because you don't really know who you're talking to. But yeah, they seem to have made it work for them as a friendship, right?
Seem to have made a lovely little friendship. And yeah. It's always interesting to hear someone's opinions on it that has been in the show and then another series has been out after, and how they view it differently.
Yeah, I guess you've never had the opportunity to do that with Towie. I suppose there's been the Mummy programmes, haven't they, that have kind of had spin-offs, but they're a bit of a different vibe to Towie, aren't they? So, yeah, interesting. Well, we have a little bit of a game to play before our next guest, Ellie, joins.
Well, I love a game, Steve.
Well, I don't, but we're going to play it anyway. right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read you out some Mail Online headlines. You have to try and guess. I'm going to X out who the person is they're talking about. You have to try and guess who they are. And I'll give you some clues from the comments, and we'll see if you can get it. Right, so first one.
This will be fun.
Love Island's ex reveals he plans to propose to his girlfriend ex sooner than you think in candid Q&A.
Okay.
Any idea? Do you want the first comment?
Any idea? I'll take the first comment, please, Steve.
First comment.
I feel like we're on countdown. I'll have a bail, please, Steve.
Isn't a proposal meant to be a surprise, or is this just their way to get their followers hyped up?
Ooh, shade. I might have to have a second clue, I'm afraid.
Secondly, getting married at 21, that makes sense. So they're young. Well, so they're young. Love Island.
Getting their followers up. I want to think of that age group of Love Islanders. Is there a third comment?
There is a third one. This should give it away. If you don't know this, you might not know who they are.
Okay.
He punches people for a living and she promotes throwaway fashion.
Oh, Tommy Fury and Molly May.
Yeah, ding, 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 ding. You got it. I mean, it couldn't be. I was getting a bit worried. You might not have known who they were at that point. But okay, good. We got that. You got that one. Second one. Okay. Ooh. Shirtless ex crashes his dad's ex live interview as he strolls into shop before darting off after realizing he's been caught on camera.
Jamie Redknapp crashes Harry Redknapp's interview.
Wow, well done. Oh, you knew that one, didn't you? Shirtless man. Yeah, right, okay. Not even
Redknapp, shirtless.
I've always found Jamie Redknapp, I don't know, he is obviously handsome, but I just don't find him attractive. I don't know if I can explain that. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
Joking.
What? Madness.
Love a bit of Jamie.
Okay, let's try another one before Ellie gets here. X continues to shed light on her sizzling sex life with X as she gives a nod to kinky preferences and liking it rough in very racy post.
Oh, dear. I'm going to need a clue, please, Steve.
Clue number one. Her kids are going to go on the internet one day.
Her kids are going to go on the internet one day. That's making me think the kids are young and they're not at an age where they can go on the internet. Mm-hmm. Not that whittles it down much, because there's probably a lot of young kids out there. Second comment, please, Bo.
Act your age, woman. You're 42, not 21.
42, and the headline was what? So he's saying about...
X continues to shed light on her sizzling sex life with X as she gives a nod to kinky preferences and liking it rough in very racy posts. I mean, that is very racy.
Because of the hate, I feel really like conscious of getting the wrong person if I guess.
Right, I'll give you one more, and I reckon this might give it away.
Yeah.
Jesus, this entire family is garbage. Here I thought she was the more normal one.
Is this family's garbage? Is this the Kardashian clan?
Yes, it is.
Okie dokie. Kids are gonna go on the new. Nod to her sex life, but it can't be Kim.
No.
I'm guessing because of the Kanye sitch.
Yeah.
Could it possibly... Is it going to be Chloe or is it going to be Courtney? Fact, it's kids. Chloe's only got one. I'm going to say Courtney.
Courtney Kardashian, well done. And Travis Barker, yeah, the guy from Blink 182. There was some weird, like, finger-sucking video that was posted, I think I saw... I don't know, the whole thing is a bit bizarre.
Oh, she was stuck in his finger.
Yeah. I don't think I've misread that. I hope it was her and not something else I've seen online.
So you haven't been on that OnlyFans if you think.
I shall pass no comment.
I think we've got the lovely Ellie waiting.
Oh, we do. Let's get her in.
Lovely little seg in.
Hello.
Hello. Oh my God, Ellie Duggan.
Hello.
Wait, who's that?
It's Bobby Norris.
I'll get the fuck high. My God. Hello. Hi. Nice to meet you.
How are you doing, Ellie Babes?
Fucking hell. I'm all right. Yeah, I'm all right. Jesus Christ. I wasn't expecting you. Oh, thank you. I wasn't expecting you. Oh, my goodness. Should have dressed up for the occasion.
How are you?
Oh, I'm all right. I've just finished tour, like, literally yesterday. which was quite torturous, but I had a lovely night off in Manchester and I met a lovely little soin. So I'm feeling good, you know, feeling good.
Wow, okay. So tell us about how life has been since it's all, since Drag Race UK has come to an end.
I mean, other than being in the middle of a pandemic, everything's been fine. Like, it's been all right. The money has been okay. It's been slow, but it's been all right. It was just, like, a shame that, like, it's sort of in the middle of all this. We can't really go out and, like, meet the fandom or, like, really do anything. But, like, slowly but surely, things will get back to normal. And I'm sure this time next year, we'll all be in Barbados with, like, our cocktails, just being like, oh, remember when season 2 came out in the middle of the pandemic? Do you know what I mean?
Well, I think, actually, probably season 2... was made all the more iconic because of the big break that you had in the middle, right?
Oh my goodness. Well, literally, I mean, I say this to everyone who asked me about this, and I was just go, well, yeah, like if it wasn't for that, I would probably not have made it to the end.
But you did.
Yeah, my God, I know. By the skin of my teeth, name badges, but you know what? Doesn't matter.
And how have you found the reaction from the public? And like you say, since the show's aired and you've watched it all now?
I mean, after like everything or whatever's came out, like obviously there's been some really good, great, amazing moments and stuff like that. Then there's obviously some stuff that's like been a bit more like hard to deal with. I mean, my reaction's been amazing. Like I've never, and I don't really care for like hate comments anyways. Like folk get really emotional or like get really worked up over hate comments. I don't care. Like unless it's someone I genuinely have a lot of respect for. If someone's like, oh, I don't like you, I would bawl my eyes out. But then, like, if you're like, oh, I don't like you, you should die, I'll be like, oh, I don't know who you are, blah. Do you know what I mean? Like, I really just, it doesn't affect me at all. So, yeah, I've had hate comments being like, oh, are you? Blah, running order, blah, 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 blah. But, like, it doesn't affect me, I don't really care. So it didn't take me to heart, do you know what I mean? So, no, but everything's been fine. And the fans, like, the people that do support you are, like, the best supporters ever. Like there's like first on every single tweet, first to book a cameo, first to buy new merch, but they're always like the best there. And then like going on tour this past like week or whatever, like getting to see those faces that you recognize from social media is like really, really nice.
Yeah, obviously you were quite open in the show talking about you know, your home situation, your money situation, and how basically you struggled to make money doing drag in Scotland.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that since you've done, well, not right now, because obviously, you know, gigs can't be what they were, what they were a year ago. I'm assuming that things are different for you now. Has it managed to lift you up and help you in that way yet? Or are you still waiting for that moment?
In some sense, yes. Like I'm able to like just go out to Asda's and buy what I would like with like, in, you know what I mean? Like Asda's, but yeah. Not Prada or Gucci or, you know, like, none of the bigger things yet. But it's certainly been a bit of a, oh, okay, like there's something here now that I can make money from quite quickly. Do you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. I could post I'm doing cameos and make about like whatever amount in one night just by sitting in my room and being like, hiya, do you know what I mean? Like yeah. That's really it. So yeah, it's better now, but it certainly helped a lot because of that, you know.
And do you think after we really see the full restrictions lifted and hopefully Miss Rona is a thing of the past, will you always be based in Scotland or could you ever see yourself kind of like moving to London or leaving the city?
Someone asked me that quite recently while I was on tour and I didn't have an answer for it because I was like, I like Scotland. Like I do want to stay in Scotland. But then I went on tour and I'd seen Manchester and I swear to God, when I say that I like have fallen head over heels for Manchester, like I want to move to Manchester tomorrow. Do you know what I mean? The money's not there to do that, but I would absolutely, if it was feasible to do that, I would do it straight away. I really do like Manchester. So right now the goal is to move to Manchester, but that will be for a couple of years.
There's plenty of time, babes.
Plenty of time. And that's the thing as well, was like I'm just sort of taking each day as it comes, each sort of paycheck as it is, and then just sort of like seeing how it is. And if the moment's right, the moment's right. If it's not, it's not. So whatever, you know.
I guess that's kind of the, like you kind of, you alluded to with the Scottish drag scene, is that it's small. It's very small. There aren't that many clubs. Or there are, but you know, there's not necessarily much choice, is there? So you know, there might be one club in each city. If you go to somewhere like Manchester, you can really earn a living.
There's
there.
Like five in one street.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, you've probably seen it. This kind of interesting article going around from Vice about about the amount of money that it costs to do Drag Race. Obviously, you, like I said, have been quite open about that. Have you read it? And did you see what people were saying about how it was costing tens of thousands of pounds to do the show?
I mean, I haven't read the article, but like I was speaking to some of the queens that were on the tour with me, and I was like, how much did you spend on the show? And they had told me, and I literally like jaw-dropping, being like, oh my God, like absolutely not. Like, I mean, going on to the show, I didn't have a big budget. You know, I didn't have money to just throw on a crap ton of drag. So I was just like, I'll just make everything myself and I'll just get like a loan from the fabric shop. Do you know what I mean? And then I just done everything like that. But then like...
And you looked incredible for it, for a tight budget. I mean, Christ.
Like, I mean, like, it's just, it was like days on end, like still working in the drive-thru doing night shift, because I changed to night shift at that time. So I was doing night shift, coming home, sleeping for an hour, staying up to do costumes and then going back to work, and I literally done it for like 3 weeks and then left for the show.
Jeez. I mean, yeah, you worked hard and you deserve your success. I think that's the most important thing, really.
Oh, thank you. But like, I mean, some of the queens like spend like loads and loads of money. Like, I know some queens just spend like up to like, as you said, tens to thousands of pounds, and I was just like, it wouldn't be me. Like, I love money too much to not go spending it on like a costume I'm gonna wear one time on a runway. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And like you say, the fact that you can get the materials and do things yourself and still do so well says says it all, that you don't need to go and spend tens of thousands of pounds on wigs and frocks, when as long as you've got a few sewing skills, you can do yourself. Do you know what I mean?
Literally. It's
incredible.
And like, everyone who asks, oh, you know, how do I start doing drag? Like, want to start doing drag or whatever? I'm like, please don't go spending money. Please don't go spending money. Like, this foundation is £7. It's from Revolution. And it's the one I've used for quite a while now. And it's so cheap and it's great. Full coverage does the job. But it's like, don't spend money. Learn the art form and learn how to do drag. And then, so then if you do in years later get a wig styled, like this wig wasn't styled by me. I done this wig myself, but I knew how to fix it when it was broken. Do you know what I mean? Because I hadn't done hair before. So it's like those skills are easy to acquire if you really have a true love for the passion art form of drag, because it should just come naturally, you know.
And can I just say, for a foundie that's £7, it just goes, look, you're contoured to the gods. You look amazing. So it doesn't matter how much your foundation, your bronzer, do you know what I mean? So you've just got to do it. And that is artistry, isn't it? What you do there to your face, like, is, that's just incredible.
Oh, my God, we need to get together. I'll do your makeup one time. I'll give you all of it.
Let's do it. What would my drag name be?
I don't know why the first thing that came into my head was Big Bob. I mean, that's like the worst.
That's what Lady Bunny's wigs look like, just a Big Bob.
Oh my God, they do. Good shout, yeah. Oh yeah, that could be your thing. You just have a Big Bob, like a big, and a winter Bob.
We'll just take the bang and we'll just put it like that and then just do lips and Bob.
Perfect.
Oh my God, I'd be so...
Lips and veneers.
Yeah. The most Essex drag queen, more Essex than Cheryl Hole. I think she might be fuming at that, actually, if we said that.
Mega fucking fuming.
So what are you hoping for, like, next then? Obviously, you mentioned the tour. Have you got any gigs coming up now that, you know, that you can do gigs outside maybe and things like that?
So me and another queen from season two have a lovely, lovely tour coming in the summer, which I'm very excited about. And then I'm doing panto this year, which has been, like, a dream to do more stage shows, because I used to do panto and theatre and musical theatre, like plays and years ago, and then drag sort of took over. I sort of just lost my connection to that, so I'm glad that I'm like able to still do drag and find that other connection and put the two together. So I'm excited for panto. That's going to be fun. We start rehearsals in September, I think, so still a wee bit away. And then obviously the season two tour at the beginning of next year, which is going to be
Oh my God, the tickets sold out for that in like 10 seconds. All my friends were like trying to get them and they would have gone. Literally. I mean, like, but I mean, season two was iconic, I think. And it was, and you know, a lot of people are saying that it was better than the American series this time round. What have you made? People have been, do you think it'll be able to live up to that, the third series? And what did you make when you watched it back?
You're so shady!
I'm just saying, babes. I'm only saying what the others, what comments are saying. This is from a drag queen. You're calling me shady.
Yes! Oh my goodness. No, I mean, like, anyone who goes on Drag Race, their season's the best season. So therefore, like, yeah, our season's great. Like, it's great. It's the best season ever because I was on it. So it's, like, obviously going to be the best season. But, like, the fandom has just been so amazing to create this season two, like, blow up or whatever I would want to call it. But, like, I love the American season. I just think it's just gone on for so long. Like, we've, like, had, like, what? It was the grand finale or whatever, and then there were still two more episodes. And I was like, oh, my goodness. We've gone on so long. But all the queens on that show is fabulous. Like, Tamisha Aman, Rosé from Scotland as well. I was like, yes, some more Scotland representation.
Yeah, 100%.
And then I'll be, what was it? The season three. So season three, no idea when the hell that's happening. I've not got a Scooby, so don't ask. But, like, I mean, they've got a lot to live up for, certainly. So good luck
certainly
to them.
If there's any Scottish queens, seeing as there was two Scottish finalists and a Scottish winner.
I mean, they got two the best. Who else are going to put on?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I'm joking.
I see rumours that apparently the third one could have already been filmed already. I don't know if that's right.
Could it possibly comment? Got it.
She says swigging the H2O.
Yeah.
What would your advice be to any future queens that might be taking part in series 3 or 4?
Don't apply. Don't apply if you don't know who you are. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're still trying, like, I didn't know who I was season one when that came about. I didn't apply for season one. I was not in the right headspace. I thought to myself, I was like, okay, if I get on the show, that's it. You can't say no. Do you know what I mean? Well, you can, but they're not going to get you back. Do you know what I mean? Because you said no. So I was like, I won't apply because my mental mind and, like, everything is just not ready yet. Go into Drag Race knowing that you're going to get on. Do you know what I mean? So season two came about, I went, cool, if I apply, I'm going to get on. I'm confident in the audition tape. I'm quite a confident person anyways. Not a bad thing. It's just something that you need to go on that show having. Yeah. And then I got on and I was like, oh shit, wait, hold on. I was like, hey, okay, here we go.
And there you are sewing into the early hours of the morning. And yeah.
Quite literally.
Once you've taught me how to beat my face to perfection like you, who knows, I might apply. I'll get them wigs out of the case.
Why are you not a judge?
This is the question.
I'd love to be a judge. If you're listening, bro.
On the Snatch Game, I need to see that. I need to see it.
It's got a rap in it.
Oh, yeah, they have Gemma as a judge on the last series.
WhatsApp him, DM Ro, and say, I know the perfect boy for you.
Oh, he's hung up.
Yeah, I can't imagine he's taking calls from every queen that he's seen on the series because it'd be a busy, busy man. Ellie, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Really appreciate it. And best of luck with everything that's coming up. Finally, you'll be able to get out there again.
To do things. Well, thank you so much for having me. And I was like, oh my God, is that Bobby? I was like, what's going on there? Hello. Babe, thank you so much for having me. It's been a lot of fun. I'm going to go have some chicken nuggets.
Oh, treat yourself.
Oh, yeah. What do you have? Ketchup or sweet and sour?
Curry.
Oh. Oh, do you?
She's a real Scottish queen, that one. Yeah, she's a real Scottish queen. No messing.
You enjoy 9 or 20? I sometimes like a 20 deck hill.
40, innit?
Get after me, Fiona. You go get that chicken.
Thank you so much, Ellie. Lovely to meet you.
Thank you so much. Bye.
I could 100% see you as a judge on Drag Race, Bob. I think it could happen.
I'd love it. Do you know what? One day it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I can feel it in the gallbladder.
Of
all places. Do you know what, Ro? Ro and BBC, you ain't even got to pay me. This one's on me.
You'll tell them at any time of the day or night. Yeah, I can see it.
I just think it's one of them things you've got to tick off the list, don't you?
100%.
Iconic.
Big Bob.
What a lovely show.
Show we've had today. Yeah, definitely. And great to have Brooke and Beth on, who were both great chatters, and Ellie as well. She obviously hadn't read her brief when she signed up and it said, you know, with Bobby Norris. She was like, what the hell's going on? No, great show.
And a lovely little game thrown in there. Love that you got all creative.
Yeah, great. Great stuff. Thanks, producer George, for throwing that one at me at the last minute. What have you got coming up this week, Bob? Anything exciting? A bit more filming?
Yeah, more filming.
More gym. More Nando's.
More
gym,
more walks. Yeah, another Nando's if I can. Well, I'm absolutely going to. I can. It's open.
You can. You can. This is it.
Yeah, we're doing it. How about yourself? More rowing?
More rowing this weekend. Got a bit of a race on Sunday amongst us that have been training.
Boat?
Yeah, in the boat. A little 2K race. Yeah, and nice to just be normal, like we said.
Lots of catching up to do, I bet. Oh, it'd be
indeed.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, yeah, great stuff. Until next week then, Bob. Goodbye.
Bye, Steve. Bye, guys. Stay safe.